produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, and thank you for joining me once again on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. I want to talk to you today about the purpose of a valley experience. Have you ever thought about the difference in your feelings from time to time? I myself have gone from one end of the spectrum to the other in the course of just one day. And when you think back and look back on it, it doesn't make sense, at least if you're just looking at it topically. But think about it. In the course of a 24-hour day, the average person goes through a myriad of feelings. You may wake up on top of the world, only to get a bit of bad news, and that may send you spiraling into a depression. Now, this may last a few minutes. If you're a believer and you can catch those negative feelings quickly, if you've trained yourself to do so, or if you don't have a grip on the belief that you think you do, it can last indefinitely, at least until you can snap yourself back, either by yourself or with the help of someone who can help you come to grips with what you're feeling. But such are the highs and the lows of a human life, right? We've even coined an expression for those low feelings. We call it down in the dumps. And sometimes you may call it down in the valley. Well, let me offer you a little different view of the valley. And we all know that a valley is a low point, usually between two high elevations such as mountains or hills. And sometimes the valley is a dust bowl with no vegetation to speak of. It's as if Mother Nature has forgotten this stretch of land, abandoned it in favor of the mountains that loom above with the contrast of lushness of grass, trees, and maybe even a water source. But if you look at Ezekiel 37, God gave Ezekiel a vision of restoration of the dry bones that were in that valley. Indeed, it was a low point for the Israelites of that time because they turned away from God and from the teachings of God, causing them to lose their connection with Source. And when you don't have a connection with Source, you tend to lose hope. But God gave him a vision to share of those bones coming back to life, flesh, sinew, muscle, skin, and all, when the word of God was spoken to them. And they remembered with their higher self, knowing who they were and whose they were. You see, that's what happens when you start to despair about whatever it is in your life that has caused you to feel down. We don't see how this can be happening to us, and we are supposed to be God's beloved children, right? Doesn't he know how much this hurts? Yes, he does. Did you ever stop to think that just maybe this is the time for us to sit, reflect, and reconnect with Source? Maybe, even though intellectually you know that God will never leave you, you have left or neglected God, left him on the sideline while you attempted to handle things yourself. And sometimes your handling them yourself results in an epic fail. Now that time of slow progress, you're going through the valley time, maybe God's way of getting your attention, allowing you to pause just long enough to recalibrate your priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. That means all things, not just a few. When the blessings of hearing the word spoken over them, when it came to those bones, they were reconnected with Source, just as we can be. And this, I'm going to tell you something about a good friend of mine, and it's with her permission, although I'm not going to use her name. She's a childhood friend. Oh, I've been knowing her since we were maybe 12, 13. And she's had things tough from the very beginning of her life, starting with losing parents by age 7, both of her parents. After that, she had to live in an abusive relative's home. Finally, she met the love of her life, only to lose him after a few years. He was in the service, and it left her to raise 2 small kids alone, which she accomplished with God's help. And she has since lost one of them, her only son, to the war in Afghanistan. She had met a nice man, and just 2 months ago, she lost him to cancer. All of this, and she still gave praise to God. Now, in the space of 2 weeks, this last 2 weeks, she just found out that cancer is ravishing her body. And when I spoke with her, she said she trusts God to heal her on one side or the other. And she was sorry for ever having questioned him after all he had blessed her with. And I stood there, the smile and the look on her face. She was serious. With everything that has happened to her, she says, "But God brought me through the valley." Her valley season has lasted longer than most, and she still finds a reason to praise because she has remembered his promises. With each valley experienced, she allowed the breath of God to blow over her situation and renew her spirit. And I gotta let you in on something. The mere fact that this woman is my friend has really helped me in my life. And I have more than just that one person whose story is just as strong, and it gives me a reason to praise my way out of the valley. the next time something absolutely wears you down, give thanks, because you won't be there without God. God refuses to let his people be utterly cast down. If it's pain, I know this sounds strange, but give thanks, because you can feel it, and it's telling you to pay attention to your temple. If it's lost, other than the physical missing of the person, place, or thing, we are energy, and energy can never totally disappear. It recreates itself. There is no death. Jesus saw to that. And remember the valley? When the rain comes, the valley becomes a river of life overflowing with newness and growth. Because not only does it get the rain that falls from the sky directly, the mountain streams overflow into it. Learn from the valley. Wait on the Lord, because that's all we seriously have. Nothing that is in this world can accomplish as much as one well-meaning prayer. Sometimes when you know you're just overwhelmed, and we as human beings feel that we should be able to just do the what we call mundane things and not worry God for every little thing. But that's what relationship is all about. God wants to be included in every aspect of your life. Don't you want to be included in every aspect of someone that you love and care for and want to be in relationship with? You long to know that they're okay. And you long to know that they will share with you their feelings, their innermost thoughts. Every time you see a flower, every time rain falls, every time you see a beautiful rainbow, that is God interjecting himself to give you some happiness. God is a gentleman. He waits for you to ask for help out of these deep, dark things. He stands there. He's not going to let you be utterly cast down, but there are things and times that we human beings let ourselves get into. We have freedom of choice, yes, but realize that there are consequences for some of those choices. Just like the Israelites found out the consequence in going their way when they just didn't want to wait any longer for God, a whole lot of things happened. They wandered the desert for 40 years. There's no way it took them that long to cross the desert other than the fact that they didn't do what God said do. Moses himself thought that he was doing the best he could, and he was. But because he didn't totally obey God, he was blessed to see them go into the land of promise, but he couldn't go in. You see, God is a loving God, but there are some things, and disobedience is one of them, that he just doesn't tolerate. Now, he forgives, but there are consequences to that immediate action. It might not come right away, but it does come. Some people call it karma. What goes around comes around. You might not believe in karma. It doesn't matter, because karma believes in you. If you think that you can just treat people any kind of way and get away with it, if you think that you have riches or glory or profound names for yourself, and that way you can talk to anybody you want to, any way you want to, you have no idea how wrong you are. The God we serve is no respecter of person, and he won't allow you to get away with hurting someone else. Valley times can come from things that are real, but it can also come from things that you have thought, things that you have done to others, and God's letting you see that. I have a real close relative that is gone on to the next side now, that said to me while I was helping him to get out of the bed, God is really dealing with me, isn't he? And I looked at him quite strangely, and I wanted to know what made him think that. He never shared with me what made him think that. I don't know to this day, but he knew, and he accepted his infirmity. as part of maybe that's what God was showing him, that he always thought that he didn't need anybody else. And he was quick to tell you he didn't need you or anybody like you with a few profane words stringing on the end of it. But in the end, he needed everybody and anybody that would help or could help. And he needed them more and more as his sickness wore on. Then toward the end, I saw a change in him. Not that he was going to be healed on this side, but that he was healed from the inside, that he had made his peace with his God, and that valley experience of someone who could dance and sing and was quite athletic, having to stay in the bed and wait for somebody to even change you when you couldn't make it to the bathroom. That's humbling. And he understood that. And he died with a smile on his face. So I have no reason to think anything other than he and God made their peace. Now, I said that there are times when I myself, I'm in the valley. This is one of those times because things have been happening so quickly and so long with all the pandemic, and I have lost, I can't even count, I've lost count of the people that I'm connected to that have died themselves or lost relatives and loved ones themselves, and I'm standing in the gap praying for them. And somehow I didn't allow all of the energy to just flow out. You see, that's important too. Valleys have a way of having two sides. You're not going to find a valley that's a cul-de-sac. And things go in and they flow through, which lets you know that you can come out of a valley of despair. Even the valley of the shadow of death, you don't walk through alone. But for some reason, I held all of the energy and the feelings of the other people, and I think it was because I hadn't come to grips with the fact that this is a stagnating period in everybody's life. And even though they were calling me and asking me for help, I was going through the same thing that they were going through. And while I know innately, intelligently, that God will not leave me alone, there are times when things hit so quickly that I really don't have time to sit and say, but your promise is. That's why I always say, God, help me to work and speak with truth from the words of yours that I have stored in my heart. So, because you don't have time when things happen to go thumbing through the Bible and try to find things. So watching my friend go through her valley experiences and remembering some of the past ones that I've had led me to quickly jump up and say, that was the past and look where I am now. And I'm here. I've been put here at this time, in this moment, for such a time as this that I could possibly help someone else. And that's what I am dedicated to doing. That's why my radio show is so important to me. To be able to talk to people, or maybe something I've said you listened to and it helped you. That's why I'm here. Our purpose of even having a valley experience. I say it all the time. You cannot have a test without a testimony. And when tests come, and they surely will, just know that if you surrender it and give it to God, they don't last long. But you have to learn from that test, or you will repeat it, or maybe something worse. I had a teacher one time that told us, God gives you chances. He throws a pebble to get your attention, and you don't pay attention. He throws a little bigger rock in the form of a little bigger challenge, but you still don't pay attention. So the next time he throws a brick, and we all know if a brick hits you just right, it's going to stop you in your tracks. I always say surrender. Surrender does not mean woe is me and I can never get back up. Surrender is looking to the hills. That's where your strength comes from. Hold your head up. Hold your arms up. Embrace the energy that comes from God. Know that you are a vessel of that energy. And as you channel that energy from God through yourself and out of yourself to others, You are creating a flow, an ebb and a flow that can't be broken because you are now connected to the source, and the source is that mighty river that never dries up. The very next time you feel like you can't make it or you don't know how you're going to make it, remember this. You don't have to know how. The battle's not yours. You do what you can where you are with what you have. But what you have is the most important thing in the world. And what you have is your knowledge that God will never leave you, never forsake you. And if you ask, he'll walk with you until you can't walk anymore. And then he carries you. It's like that poem, Footsteps. The man watched his life. And he said, Lord, I've noticed that the most important times of my life, the most trying times in my life, I only see one set of footprints in the sand. And God said, child, I will never leave you. You only see one set of footprints because they're mine. And that's because I carried you. Just know that you are always being carried by God. All you have to do is ask. Give him opportunity to share in, like I say, the most minute decisions that you think anybody with common sense could make. Yeah, you can. But add God to it and watch how easily those little things become absolutely nothing. They may even become joys. I've determined now that I call some of my worst times and obstacles, I used to call them stumbling blocks. Then I called them obstacles, and now I call them footstones, because that's how I'm walking over the rough waters of life, is thinking about God having me. I can't swim a stroke, but unlike Peter, I refuse to look down and fall. This is Reverend Lydia, and I'm telling you, your life is worthwhile. Valleys and mountains, everything has a purpose. You have a purpose. Decide that you're going to live your purpose. And as always, I always say relax, release, and relate. Relax your mind, release your cares, and relate everything in your life to the fact that God loves you and God will always take care of you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be blessed.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Cleanse me like a healing blood. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Thursday. Yes, this is Tammy Polk, your lovingly annoying, professionally sassy, yet dynamically different host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. As always, the music that you heard before my show is by my dear friend and church member, Amberson Patterson DePaola, who is the new mother of a bouncing baby boy. So if you were praying for her, there is your update. She and the baby are doing well. Now let's get into today's topic. I want to talk about something that seems a little bit strange for my show. However, it's something that we seriously need to talk about. And that is the difference between living in denial and taking a break from reality. A lot of us today are straddling the fence between these two things. Living in denial means that you see what is going on, yet you choose to act as though what is happening is not happening at all. Someone can show you something, someone can tell you something, and because of how things are going for you within your zone, within your realm of comfort, or even your realm of influence, you will say that this doesn't touch you, or this isn't happening around you, or it doesn't have anything to do with you, or that it's not happening at all. And that you have to be careful with having such a mindset, because when denial is broken up, it often comes at a painful price. There have been businesses, churches, marriages, families, and the like that have been destroyed because denial had to be busted up in order for people to see what was really happening. When you live in a state of denial, you will spend inordinate amounts of time trying to convince yourself and people around you that things are not what they seem. And because you're doing that, you are reshaping your reality as well as the reality of those who are around you. You will think that just because you have a certain level of control with what is happening around you, that what these people are trying to tell you is not something that you should be worried about or trifle with. However, when it finally does hit home, it knocks you on your butt, because not only are you dealing with the fact that, yes, this is happening, you also now have to deal with the ramifications of it. I'll give you an example. Let's talk about the parent who has this seemingly perfect child. There is nothing that this child can do that is ever wrong. This child never does anything, and you come to this parent and you tell them that their child has done something egregious, but because this parent has built this world of my child never does anything and I do enough for my child so that my child will never do anything wrong mindset, hearing this is going to be difficult for you. And you're sitting there vehemently protesting and refusing to believe that this person is talking to you about your own child. And they will make you think that there is something wrong with you because you think of their child in that way. Case in point, I am not a big proponent of kids going into their mom's purses. That's just one thing about me. It was the way that I was raised. I was taught you bring a woman her purse, you don't go through it. So I saw one of my cousins getting something out of my aunt's purse one day and I stopped him. I asked him what he was doing, and he says, well, my mom asked me to bring her something out of her purse. And I said, no, you don't get it out of her purse. You take her purse to her and let her get what it is that she needs. So he goes and tells his mom that I fussed at him about getting something out of her purse. And she was like, oh, you and that Southern mentality. Now, this aunt spent her adult years living in New York. So my mindset to her was extremely primitive. But then the script flipped. She was getting ready to go out for the evening with my mom and my other aunts. And she knew that she had $100 of cash in her wallet. That cash was now missing. And yes, I was the first one to speak up and tell her that her perfect son took that money out of her purse. When she told him to go get her something out of her purse, my son wouldn't do that. I taught him not to steal, and he wouldn't dare take any money out of my purse. I had to have misplaced it. Maybe I didn't put it into the place in my wallet that I thought I did. So she literally empties out her purse in the floor. And she comes across the bank receipt showing that she had withdrawn the money. Now, she had a very particular place in her wallet where she kept her bank receipts. But this receipt had been placed in the spot where she kept her cash. So that means that whoever took the money took it out of the bank receipt because you could tell it had been rolled up over the money and then left the receipt right where it was. So now my auntie's all hot and bothered. She is all hot and bothered, not wanting to admit that he took this money. So my mom, being the soldier that she is, knowing that if there's anybody my cousin wouldn't lie to, it was my mom. She made him clean out his pockets. And sure enough, that $100 hit the ground. So you may say, Tammy, how does that translate to today's times? There are things going on around us today, be it racism, injustice, unemployment, brokenness, COVID, just things going absolutely haywire. And a lot of people believe that because it's not on their doorstep, because their pantries are stocked, because they may be still working or making money, or because they know how to treat people, that none of this stuff is really going on. None of it happens. And with those people, it takes a shaking up. They have to hear or see someone whom they know, like, love, and trust to say something or do something that busts up their denial. And then it tests everything that they know about themselves and about the other person, because they're like, I would have never thought I would have seen the day that you would have verbalized that kind of thought or done that type of action. See, when you're living in denial, you walk around with rose-colored glasses on permanently. So are you living in denial? Are you walking around with those permanent rose-colored glasses on? Now let's go to the other side of taking a break from reality. This is the person who, for the sake of their mental, emotional, financial, every level of health that they have, they need to tune certain people, places, and things out. And it's not that they're ignoring that it's happening. It's because they need time to sit still and to process what it is that's going on so that they can know within themselves what they need to do, what they need to give energy to, what they don't need to give energy to, what is going to affect them, how it's going to affect them, or if there's just so much conflicting information out there that they simply need time to do their own research without the questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, and observations of somebody else disturbing that process. It could be that person who takes a social media break. They stop watching TV. They don't talk on the phone a whole lot. Or they need to go and do something fun. They get out of the house and try to find a place where they can go and not think about what's going on around them just for a little bit, to get a break from what they are reading, watching, listening to, doing, and who they're hanging around. Sometimes you literally have to unplug, deprogram, detox everything, and just get by yourself or even with your family and say, okay, this time is just for me. This time is just for us. Whether you journal, you play games, you may even binge watch a TV show and find a way to do it without getting any notifications or anything breaking in or things like that. And then once the show is done, you immediately turn it off because you don't want anything else to get into your head and heart space at that moment. You're not living in denial. It is just that you have said, you know what? I need to be able to get myself right, to get myself together so that I can be my best and handle things in the best way for me and for mine before I get back out there. So what you have to do is say to yourself, is this something that I need to give energy to? Or is it taking so much out of me that it's causing me to project things onto the people that I care about? And it's not something that either of us are meant to carry. It is okay for you to step back, unplug, detox, and say, you know what? I need to get by myself for just a minute because this is too much. See, when you live in denial, you will see that that is the case, but you'll say, you know what? That's not really what it is. They're making more out of that than they should. It's not that big of an issue. But if you bring the same situation to a person who's living in denial and a person who's taking a break from reality, the person who's taking a break from reality is going to be better suited to handle the issue. It's not going to knock them off guard as much as it will the person who's living in denial. Because the person who's taking break from reality, they're saying, I see it happening. This is actually happening. I cannot handle it in my current head and heart space. So I need to take a moment, step away, and get myself together. The person who is living in denial saying, I see it. That's what they say is happening. So I'm going to completely ignore it because it's not really affecting my head and heart space the way that they are putting it out there. So I'm just going to ignore it. I'm not going to deal with it. It's two different perspectives, and you have to be careful as to which side of the fence you fall on. So I will leave you with that. But I dare not end my show without thanking Kayla and her team. God bless you and thank you for everything you do. Congratulations on continuing to spread your wings and reaching as many countries as you can with the gospel of Christ, with the new networks. Blessings to you and your team. To Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me, I will continue to say it until Jesus comes, into having this radio show in the first place. My dear friend, thank you so much for always, always finding a way to show your support to me. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. And as always, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging and be the person that takes a break from reality instead of the person who lives in denial. See you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
I know how you feel, fighting for another breath, searching for the strength to lift your legs another step. By the past, how long will it last? Buried by the heavy weight, it won't be long. Keep holding on, you won't have to wear those chains.
of heaven's on your side. Every prayer is heard. Your rescue's coming just in time. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills. You won't be overcome. It won't be long. Keep holding on, sure as the rising sun. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Whatever the struggle, whatever the pain, no matter the fear or the battle you face, help is on the way. Help is on the way. You have a warrior, defender, protector, and friend. You have a father who's for you, whose love never ends. His love never ends. I know how you feel, but it isn't over yet. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Whatever the struggle, whatever the pain, no matter the fear or the battle you face, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way.
Thank you for listening to the Weight of the World radio show hosted by Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series. The following program is not a source of medical advice. Suzanne Mosley and the coaches for the Southern Fried Keto Foodie are not medical doctors, dietitians, or nutritionists. Please consult your doctor regarding information discussed on the show or before beginning any type of weight loss program.
Sustainability on the ketogenic diet seems to be a topic discussed quite often here lately. From articles to clinical studies, it seems that there are people who believe that keto is just not sustainable as a way of life. Well, today I want to put that myth to rest for those of you who are concerned about whether you will be able to stay keto for life without fear of falling into your old bad habits. Welcome again to the Weight of the World radio program on Lifted Authors Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series and Ketogenic Lifestyle Coach. Within my broadcasts, my purpose is not only to guide you along your ketogenic path, but also help you navigate other factors that play into your success from everyday life. When coaching my clients, I take a big picture perspective. Your health is not only a result of what you eat, but also what you surround yourself with. The ketogenic diet is the only diet I have ever tried that actually offered true sustainability for me. Where other diets failed to keep me satisfied, I was notorious for falling off the diet wagon over and over again. Today, I can proudly say that my whole family has been on the ketogenic diet for coming up on 4 years. And yes, we have stayed true to our plan without any concerns for not eating starchy carbs, grains, or even sugar. Those ingredients, quite honestly, don't even appeal to us anymore. Why? Because I've learned to bake and cook with various techniques to make my own recipes keto compliant. Having the ability to eat my favorite foods and flavor varieties gives me an added advantage over battling willpower. And as we know, willpower is probably the biggest obstacle of any person trying to lose weight. Almost 4 years into this way of life, and our entire family is healthier and happier. Even our teenage daughter craves healthy choices now over the junk food of her childhood. When you feel great, all you want to do is stay the course rather than cheat on your plan. The small successes actually lead you to have more motivation to stay on your plan. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been seeing a lot of articles that are kind of concerning with their terminology that they use. I've read several articles that are circulating around social media that have clickbait titles. You know, the ones like keto is bad for you for the long term, or how everyone eventually fails at the ketogenic diet. These titles are very misleading, and we all know how misleading clickbait titles can lead people who actually don't read the articles to believe that keto is awful, terrible, and just a fad diet. But when you get into the meat of these articles, there is zero science behind their claims. The one where it discussed where keto was bad in the long term actually equated their scientific evidence to the explanation of people just love their carbs and won't be able to stay away from them, which leads to a lifetime of yo-yo dieting. And yes, I agree, it would lead to a lifetime of yo-yo dieting. However, people loving their carbs is not exactly a scientific explanation, at least to me. As for a title such as How Everyone Eventually Fails at the Keto Diet, the author that I was reading actually backed up his statement with the answer that people just don't have the willpower to stay consistent. These article titles can mislead people to believe that keto is just not a permanent solution for their weight loss or other concerns, when in actuality, the author is just simply stating that the readers are just not smart enough to make this diet sustainable. Doesn't seem they have much belief in the average person that they can be motivated enough to do what is healthy for themselves. It seems to me that their only scientific explanation is relying on human behavior aspect that comes with every other diet plan. What they fail to acknowledge is that willpower spawns from lack of nutrition. If you're feeding your body what it needs and restricting what it doesn't need, the typical keto dieter removes those cravings for non-nutritious foods that when you ate them before would perpetuate the cycle. On keto, satisfaction is the key to success. If you eat a meal that is satisfying, you are less likely to snack on other non-nutritious foods in between. Think about it. You go out to a restaurant and you typically get a dish that's going to have a more of a fat content to it. That fat content is actually what helps to make you feel satisfied or full. Once you get done with that meal, you're probably less likely to order dessert from that restaurant versus you go to a restaurant where the majority of your foods are carby in nature and less fatty, you might feel like you've saved room for dessert. This idea is what perpetuates that food cycle of eating bad ingredients. Now, when you consistently follow the ketogenic plan, you begin to overcome the willpower obstacle, and your motivation is more than enough to keep you going in the right direction. It's like removing hurdles from a track. Not having to get over those hurdles makes it easier to finish the race. Sustainability is truly what you make of it. Through the ketogenic diet, I am able to still eat my favorite foods and ingredients. With just a few adjustments, I'm able to have a wide variety of nutritious and healthy foods without giving up the tastiest of dishes. Being a self-proclaimed foodie, I've always loved indulging in rich and flavorful recipes. However, most of the recipes of our past were not only packed with unhealthy fat sources, but also an unhealthy amount of carbohydrates. Both of those combined led me to a life of misery, complacency, and self-doubt. With keto, I'm able to still enjoy my passion for creating food masterpieces without sacrificing my health for it. With the ketogenic diet, you do not have to purchase foods or supplements that may not be available beyond the peak profits of a company. If you're relying on supplements or prepackaged foods to stay compliant to your diet plan, when those items have been discontinued, what are you going to do? You can't buy them on the shelves anymore or buy them online. Where are you going to get these products that have been touted to be the center of so many people's success? The great thing about keto is that you're eating whole, real foods. You're eating fresh meats, veggies, along with healthy fats, and those will always be available in natural form. These items are the fundamental basis of what you eat on the ketogenic diet. No pills, no prepackaged foods, and no shake supplements. Just real food. Just this idea alone should stand as proof that keto is much more sustainable than any diet that requires specific products for success. And to put it as bluntly as it should be, marketing tactics really don't care about your ability or lack thereof to stay successful in a plan based around their products. When they quit making their desired profit on their products, they will cease production, leaving you to scramble to figure out how to recreate your results. Why would you want to base your health off the availability of some so-called miracle supplement or food product produced by a company who has jumped from one fad diet to the next just to make a profit? Let's stick to making our plans based off of real food that has withstood the test of marketing madness, real veggies, healthy fats, and real meat proteins. Now let's talk about the notorious myth that the ketogenic diet is just too expensive. Yes, a bag of Doritos is way cheaper than a pound of bacon. But when you realize how many slices of bacon you need to eat to feel full versus how many Doritos in that bag you have to eat to feel satisfied, you can begin to see how keto actually can save you money in the long run. Two slices of bacon can pacify me for a snack craving. Back when I ate Doritos, I would eat half a bag. I was one of those people. And as you can see, your pound of bacon is going to stretch way longer than your bag of Doritos. By adding healthy fats for satisfaction, you actually eat considerably less on keto than the standard American diet or any other weight loss program. Let me go over a few different ideas that have been used by various clients of ours to keep their grocery budget in line with your normal spending habits. We have the homesteader. For those of you who homestead, your plan for budgeting is already in place. From cattle to chickens, veggie gardens to using leftover scraps, your ketogenic budget comes in at the top of my list for ways to keep your grocery budget in line. Chicken eggs, raising meat chickens, cattle for beef, a stocked veggie garden with all of your low-carb favorites, and even goats for creating cheese and milk. You have a variety for proteins and dairy. Most of you already have experience homesteading, already know that these have cut your grocery bill in half or more. It takes a little effort to maintain your homestead, but if you're already homesteading, you've already created the habits to keep your food sources steady, which is probably the hardest part of the plan. There are several people that we have worked with that have even been on fixed budgets or even food stamp benefits, and they've wanted to do keto. And they come to me and they tell me it's too expensive, I can't afford it, I'm on a limited budget. Well, I can tell you that we have had clients who have been able to actually work through being on a fixed income for working with the keto diet. If you're receiving a fixed income or a food stamp benefit, you can absolutely still afford keto. When making your budget for groceries, start with your meat and protein purchases first. Buy bulk cuts of meat to portion and freeze. This is going to save you a lot of money. Instead of buying pre-cut pork chops, buy a pork tenderloin instead. Cut your tenderloin into thick slices and freeze them in vacuum seal bags or freezer bags for later meals. You can also find tenderloins right now for around $1.99 a pound versus paying $3 or more a pound for pre-cut pork chops. You can do the same thing for ground beef as well. Purchase bulk packages instead of 1 pound at a time. Simply divide your packages into single meal servings and store in the freezer for later use. This practice can work for basically any meat protein. Here's an example for you. I purchase a 10-pound bulk pack of ground beef for $22 and 2 6-breast packs of chicken for $24. For a family of three, that comes out to 14 meals worth of protein for $46. Add in $2 worth of low-carb veggies for each of those meals and a couple pounds of butter for cooking through the week, and you have created 2 weeks worth of keto-compliant meals for roughly $80, leaving you plenty of room in your budget for remaining needs such as, you know, coffee, cream, cheese. Another form of saving money and making it a little bit easier on your grocery budget is having farmer friends. If you have friends who are farmers, you can absolutely save money by purchasing your beef as a whole or half cow at a time. You can also find pork farmers, chicken farmers, and even fish and deer farmers. By purchasing these straight from the farm, you not only save money by going direct to the source, but you also have the ability to know exactly where your meat proteins are coming from and how they are actually raised. I'll take free-range chicken eggs over mass-produced warehouse eggs any day. To me, there is a total difference in flavor, and I can absolutely tell. As you can see, keto doesn't have to be complicated or expensive. More so, it simplifies the process. Another way is going to local veggie stands. If you live in an area where you see locals putting up veggie stands, purchase your vegetables from them. Not only is the quality typically better because they don't have to withstand shipping, but you get to ask the farmer directly how their produce is grown. Sometimes these vegetable stand farmers will work out deals for bulk purchases as well, especially near the end of their growing seasons. That produce either has to be sold, preserved, or given away before it rots. Many times these farmers will give you up to a 50% discount just to take their overabundance off their hands. Just take your bulk and preserve it for later through freezing, canning, or dehydrating. Another technique is called the use everything technique. A great way to save money is to waste nothing. If you're cooking bone-in chicken, pork, or beef cuts, strip the bones to boil later for bone broth. When you cook off your chicken breasts, use the drippings in place of the chicken broth in future recipes instead of purchasing containers of chicken broth. Not only does it add more fats to the recipe, but the flavor is amazing. It will explode in your mouth. Freeze your fat pieces as seasonings for other recipes such as roasts, green beans, or greens. If you're stripping off fat off of your chicken, save it to the side. If you're stripping fat off your pork loins, it seasons just as well as bacon. Save it to the side and put it in a freezer bag and throw it in your freezer till it's time for you to use it. Just throw the fat pieces in as you would bacon to season or flavor any of your dishes. You can regrow your veggie trimmings where you can and dry or dehydrate fresh herbs for later use as well. This will keep you from having to spend any other money on your herbs and spices through the store. The less food waste you have, the more money you're going to save. And you'd be surprised how much you actually purchase secondary products that can be created with what you already purchased in the first place, such as broths, fats, and collagen. Another way that our clients make keto sustainable is in their preparations. You need to be realistic in your meal planning. There are so many people that go on Pinterest and they come on my board and they find all of these great, fantastic recipes, but they're time consuming and they're meant to be those larger, more specialized dinners. You absolutely will find a ton of keto recipes that look amazing, but if you fill your already busy week with extensive recipes, you're inevitably going to lose steam before your week is even over. Try to prepare easier dishes for most nights of the week and add in just a couple of really great ones for days where you have a bit more time on your hands. My crock pot gets used weekly for meal prep. I can throw a pork loin in the crock pot for 3 hours and have at least 2 to 3 meals worth of meat proteins. This only leaves me with making a side dish to go with each meal, which cuts my cooking time down to about 15 to 20 minutes on those nights. I tend to make more elaborate dishes on the weekends, as well as pre-make dishes to complete either on Tuesday or Wednesdays. I will pre-cook my meats and assemble my dishes such as casseroles so that later in the week, I just throw them in the oven to heat them up and blister the cheese or brown my keto bread style crumb topping. Scheduling in simple dinners such as just baked chicken with broccoli makes for a variety of meals without getting burned out in the kitchen. Making these preparations ahead of time and utilizing simple dinners in between make for a better plan to stay on track. Sustainability also comes from a well-stocked kitchen. On my last show, I talked about how to perform the steps to organize your well-stocked keto kitchen. If you remove all non-keto food sources and prepare your kitchen in an organized fashion, you're less likely to go off plan. Make sure to also have a few quick and healthy snacks stocked, such as fried chicken skins or pork rinds, as well as almonds or pecans. A few other great ideas to have around for snacking are snack portion-sized cheeses, boiled or deviled eggs, and even a few snack-sized servings of keto-compliant deli meats, such as pepperoni or Angus roast beef. As you continue on your keto journey, you will get accustomed to your new way of eating, and staying on course will become a lot easier. But I wouldn't be completely honest if I didn't include a major key piece of advice here. This is my number one piece of advice. Sustainability comes from determination. If you are not determined to make this lifestyle change for life, you're going to be tempted at every corner. Those temptations are so much easier to ignore when you have set your mind to making your successes happen. Use your determination to set yourself up for success in every direction by beginning your ketogenic plan with a solid strategy, and remember that keto is truly a new way of life via a new way of fueling your body. Like with any diet plan, no matter what the restrictions are, you will have to maintain that diet's specific standards to continue to achieve results. This is not localized to just the ketogenic diet. If you eat low fat and you lose weight and you start eating higher fat, you will gain weight. If you eat low carb or keto and you lose weight and then you go back and you start eating those things that was causing your weight gain, you will gain weight again. This is standard with any diet. Low calorie, the same way. You get your body used to eating the smaller amount of calories. You go back to eating more. You're not burning that amount of calories. You will gain weight. So anyone who states that the ketogenic diet is not sustainable because you'll just gain the weight back, that's with any diet plan. You have to stick with it for life to see lifetime results. Any diet plan you decide to try will have to be a standard that you can adhere to for as long as you want those results. But I should remind you that starving yourself is never a sustainable way of life. You must give your body the fuel it needs to stay healthy, and thankfully, keto centers its macros counts around those exact nutrients. Sustainability on any diet plan is truly a product of what you invest in it. If you are motivated to make this your long-term lifestyle, you will succeed. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're interested in learning more about the ketogenic diet and how it can help you on your journey to better health, check out our page and join our free support group on Facebook. You can also find us on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our cookbook series, The Southern Fried Keto Foodie, in paperback and Nook version through barnesandnoble.com, or you can find us in digital form as well on Kindle. If you're in need of a coach to help you create your own ketogenic plan, please feel free to contact us for more information on how we can assist you. Just email us at author@southernfriedketofoodie.com to request an information packet regarding our services. Please join me every second and fourth Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time for more episodes of The Weight of the World. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.